What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
Well, guys, we're going to go a step further this morning. We're going to be talking about identity. But I want to introduce myself, and I'm honestly so excited to be with you guys. My name's Emily Brent, and thank you guys. You guys are the best. You're so kind. 12 years ago, I was sitting in chairs just like this in a DTS, and I met God in a crazy way that changed my life forever. When Holly was talking about how she doesn't recognize herself from that season of where God really transformed her life, I honestly couldn't agree more, and I feel like I would even take it a step further. I feel like I don't even recognize that person. Like, that person is so far removed from who God has reshaped me into. And I grew up in a Christian family, grew up in ministry, grew up around tons of just all kinds of God moving and amazing miracles and amazing just, you know, God moved. My parents were church planters. But I also grew up around a really dysfunctional environment. There was some abuse involved. There was a lot of kind of some dual realities in my life. And so my parents got divorced when I was 14, and I'm the oldest of five kids. And so we've been living this like outwardly public, you know, very squeaky clean, you know, life. Everyone knows us as a family that has it all together. They have no idea that behind closed doors, I would cry myself to sleep every single night. And to the point where when I was 11 years old, I told God, I'm never gonna cry again, because like, what's the point? I was in so much defeat, so much brokenness. But on the outside, I just kept living, kept honestly just performing, holding my best foot forward. And I went all through high school. My parents divorced. My mom's a single mom working. We're still in ministry. My dad has to leave the church. Just think like tons of just total painful drama and feeling so exposed. And then also feeling like, man, I don't have a safe place. Like, how am I going to process this? Because everyone kind of had like a little bit of pity. I don't know if you ever relate to this. Where you're like, you're going through something, you're like, the last thing that would make it even worse is if people had pity on me. And so I threw myself into every extracurricular activity possible, student body leadership, sports, youth group, missions trips, and I just went for it. And I just was like, you know what, God, I'm gonna keep smiling, I'm gonna keep living for you. And I had no idea, truthfully, how to deal with or how to reconcile the pain that I was dealing with. And so I found myself at 18 years old, after graduating high school, my senior year, I was supposed to go to an art school in Santa Barbara, my freshman year of college. But right before, I had an amazing scholarship, everything lined up, I felt so good. You know, senior year when you're just like, everything's going good. I've got, you know, a school that I'm headed towards, all my, you know, outward appearance, everything's looking good. I'm proud of myself. And then it was halfway through my senior year, I started feeling this unresolvable anxiety. And I started feeling this, I don't know if you've ever felt this, where you're like, something deeper needs to be resolved or else I'm just gonna totally spin out of control. Because I had been using all my energy to kind of hold myself together through all the pain and really did not know how to reconcile. How do I give my pain to God? I know I'm a Christian, I love God, but how do I reconcile these two, you know, universes in my mind? And my mom's best friend had been a long-term YWAM with her family for over 10 years. So I didn't grow up with them as a kid, but would see them, you know, once in a while. And the year my parents got divorced, they moved back to our hometown, and so I started babysitting for their kids. And, you know, obviously super painful time in my life, but I'm just going there, you know, babysitting, super joyful, super smiley. And they would always tell me, you would love YWAM, you would love YWAM. We think YWAM's a part of your story. And I was honestly like, no, like I've got plans, you know. I've got college, I've got all these things that I want to do, and I really want to prove myself in these areas. And it wasn't until I started feeling that unresolvable anxiety my senior year, I was sitting at dinner with them, and out of my mouth, I think the Holy Spirit literally took over my mouth, and I said, out of nowhere, I think I want to hear more about YWAM. I think I'm supposed to go. And like literally they dropped their fork. They're like, what? This is crazy. We have been praying and fasting for you for 3 years. Because we knew that YWAM is a huge part of your story and God wants to absolutely raise you up as a leader. And so I'm like sitting there crying at the table. I'm like, what's, you know, like those moments where you're like, you said something, you know, you catalyzed him, but you're like, where am I? What's happening? And they literally walk into the other room. They grab a manila envelope and they go, we've had this application by faith for 3 years. praying over it, fasting over it, because we knew that this breakthrough was going to come in your life. So I'm in total shock. I'm like, what? What's happening? And they're like, all you need to do is pray right now and ask the Lord where you're meant to do your DTS. And so I'm like sitting there like, okay. And they're like, let's ask the Lord right now, right? You have that friend in your life. It's like, once you say something out loud, they're like, let's pray right now and let's take action. So I hear New Zealand. I have no idea anything about New Zealand. Never been there. I never known one fact about it besides Lord of the Rings was filmed there. And a few months later, I'm on a plane to New Zealand by myself at 18 years old. This is pre-iPhone. So when I got on the plane, my mom canceled my cell phone. I had a white chocolate, those really old school phones when I was in high school. And my baggage got lost on the way to my DTS. So I had to wear the same clothes for 5 or 6 days, which was super embarrassing. God just stripped me of my pride. Two flights got canceled, and it took me 3 days to get to my DTS. And back then there was no, like, you couldn't just like get on Wi-Fi and call somebody or like, you know, FaceTime audio. So I'm literally emailing the base, like, please pick me up. I think I'm gonna get in Wednesday around, 7, like from Australia, from all my layovers. Anyways, I get there, and by the time I got there, I was so jarred. I was so, like, my life was turned so upside down. All of my control was being confronted. God was like, you think that you're gonna come to me on your terms? No, I'm coming to you on my own terms. And I said, Lord, I hate myself so much. I've never had a chance in my life to drop my shoulders, to not be in an environment where everybody knows me, everybody knows my family, everybody knows, people are gonna talk about me. I'm like, I'm literally across the world. I'm never gonna see these people probably ever again in my school. And I just decided, I am not here for reputation, I'm here for God. And I said, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want it. And I said, Lord, I will be the crazy person running up there getting prayer, running up there not here for reputation, not here for, that little click. I'm here to, like, be changed. And I'm not kidding you guys. Every single week, God met me on that floor in front of that, that little altar area. Every single time they said, do you want prayer? I just would run up there. Every single time they'd be like, do you want prayer for this prophetic gift or this whatever gift? I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And every week, it took all the faith that I had to get through that breakthrough, to believe, God, Lord, you can do this in my life. Because it was such a paradigm-shifting experience. And so I want to say to all of you guys on week 2, here's my 2 encouragements, and we're going to jump into our identity, is do not be here for reputation. Do not be here, because of the person you're left or right. You got to be here for God. You have to get God in this place. Because you know what? I got God, and my life completely changed. I wanted to be in missions. I had a vision. God so super encountered me. He healed me. Everything Holly talked about, I got the full sozo experience. I would have so many flashbacks that would make me cry on the spot from all the abuse and trauma that I had been through. And after that DCS experience, I've never had one flashback to this day. God met me in power. But I will scare you with this. There was also people in my DCS sitting next to me that I thought, man, we're going for this. And somewhere along the line, week 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere along there, they stopped running to the front and getting prayer. And by the end of the DTS, they were still stuck on week 2 breakthrough, right? Week 6 breakthrough. And I was just freaking soaring. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna go change nations. I'm gonna take what God is saying seriously over my life. So what I wanna encourage you to today is, you got to take yourself as seriously as God's taking you in this season of training. And if we're going to talk about identity, we have to lay the groundwork in faith and belief, because God's serious about you. In my DTS, I didn't believe at the beginning one word that God was speaking over me. I'm like, Lord, how could that be? I'm so broken. I've got all this junk. And the Lord just kept like, agree with me, agree with me, agree with me, agree with me, agree with me. So as we dive into identity, I want to pray that God would just supernaturally release a grace on you, that whatever is hindering you, whatever distractions there are, whatever those, right? We all know, like, those little things that kind of challenge, right? Kind of challenge what God is saying over our lives. It's just super real. We all experience this. That those things would just be moved to the side, and that this, as God begins to speak, that he would just absolutely just resonate in our hearts and that we would experience that freedom and receive that love and get rid of all fear. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to pray with me. Jesus, we just give you this morning. Lord, thank you for the intro on freedom from Holly, Lord. We receive that truth in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for our original design, Lord, for our identity. And Lord, even if we've heard this 1,000 times, even if we have heard about our identity, Lord, and we've wrestled or we've already made up our mind on who we are or who we're not in Jesus' name, God, we just clear the whiteboard right now. We just clear the whiteboard, God, in Jesus' name. You can speak whatever you want, Lord. The Creator gets to decide the creation in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just give you this time. We pray that a spirit of faith would just be in this room, God. We pray that you would release a grace to receive. Lord, even though everything in our flesh is going, no, we pray that you would just drop truth in our spirits this morning. And God, I pray, Lord, even as this talk is going, I pray that it would just be words from heaven and that you would speak even beyond the words I'm saying into every person's heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, turn to page 24. We're talking about identity today. The two biggest questions in life are, number one, who am I? And number two, what's my purpose? These are the two biggest questions that every human is asking. All right, today I'm not gonna have time to preach, I'm just gonna have time to train. So you gotta take notes, we're gonna be blazing through a ton of content. But you know what, you guys are gonna be setting so many people free in your generation that you don't need to be preached to, you need to be trained as a leader because you're gonna go do this. And I want you, as you're listening to this talk, I want you to also think about, don't just think about it for yourself, but as you take notes, I want you to think about, as you, if you're gonna go sit down with somebody tomorrow who just got saved, right? Because this is what's happening.
Right.
Well, I heard like 40 people got saved last week in evangelism, like before even the evangelism training. Is this true?
Yeah.
Right? How many of you guys led someone to Christ last week? Okay. Dude, after 1 week, that's pretty incredible. So all of us are going to be stepping into discipleship. All of us are going to be stepping into training our generation. And every single person that we minister to, the first question they're going to ask is, who am I? Write it down. The second question they're going to ask is, what's my purpose? This is what we're really asking, though, when we ask these questions. Do I get to choose who I am? Does what I do define who I am? Am I meant to discover who I am by experimenting? Am I who my parents and my peers say I am? Can I choose who I want to become? I was doing some research this last week preparing for this talk, and it kind of caught my mind, like how so our whole generation is searching for our identity. Like, it's everywhere. And even brands have shifted their marketing kind of schemes that to be like lifestyle brands that we would identify with the mission or identify with a brand. It's crazy. So there's so much fighting for our identity. Okay, so I looked up how the world identifies identity, or how the world would, what aspects are make up identity. You'll love this. Okay, so this is from the world. This is how the world defines identity. Number one is personality. Your personality refers to your temperament and attitude. Some people have grumpy personalities, others might be jovial. Number two, relationship status. Your relationship status is an aspect of identity that is often displayed on social media profiles and apps. Isn't that just like so superficial and sad? Number three, religion. Many people place their religion at the center of their personal identity. It forms the foundation of their values and hope in humanity and in afterlife. Number four, family. When asked what is most important to you in your life, your family may be the first thing that you say. And your identity as a mother, father, brother, sister, daughter or son. Number five, beliefs and values. Your personal values and beliefs are likely central aspects of your identity. A person may, for example, self-identify as a humanitarian, a conservative, or someone who values honesty above all else. All right, the next one, citizenship and nationality. Since the 16th century, nationality has become more prominent marker of your self-identity. Hobbies. We often gravitate toward people who share our hobbies. In the world of the internet, we can often find people who share our obscure hobbies from across the world and near our areas. Next, race. Race refers to your biological association with a group of humans with shared characteristics such as skin pigmentation and facial features. Skills. You may be identified by your skills, especially if you are a particularly skilled person. Ancestry. You may primarily identify yourself based upon who your ancestors are, such as if you are a particularly strong lineage. The next one, physical appearance. This is funny. Sadly, this is on Google. Sadly, physical appearance remains a feature of your identity. I love that. Society may think different of you based on how you look, and similarly, how you may think of yourself. So true, but like so raw to read, you know. Bummer. The next one, ethnicity. Ethnicity refers to the tradition of your ancestors. The next one, birth order. Many studies have attempted to understand the relationship between birth order and personal identity. Language is spoken. Your language is central to your identity. Your caste status, this is like more for different parts of the world. We don't deal with this in the West. Is an ascribed identity that is prevalent in past centuries. It refers to the designation of people in groups based on family and ethnicity. For example, in Sri Lanka, there are fishermen castes where a child is born into the caste must take on their parents' profession or else they will be unemployed. The next one is political views. Increasingly, people are placing their political tribe at the very center and essence of themselves. The next, social class. Your social class refers to both your socioeconomic status and the traditions and subcultural practices of the people who share that status. Common social classes include working class, middle class, upper class. Last two, ability and disability. Also features as aspects of our identity. Example, people who are wheelchair bound suffer from chronic fatigue or suffer from depression. So in other words, what they're able to do or not able to do sometimes defines people. The next one is profession. Your profession is often a central feature of your identity or your career because it is what you do most of your days. Okay, that's like so complex. That's how many ingredients the world says makes up an identity. Okay, so now let's look at how the world recommends you find your identity. All right, these ones get, just prepare yourself. Okay, number one, this is it. 9 ways to find your true identity. Okay, this is an actual article. Okay, ready? Number one, I'm so glad we have God. Okay, number one, like if I read this without knowing God, I would hate my life. Okay, number one, list your strengths. One way to find your identity is to make a list of your strengths, .. It literally says that in the article. Number two, identify your core values. But if you don't know God, how do you know your core values? Okay. Number three, what are your beliefs? Write them down. This is number three. Number four, meditate. But what are you meditating on? See, this is where it gets like fishy. Okay. Number five, practice mindfulness and self-awareness. Doesn't this just make it like a recipe for like needing therapy? Okay. Right? If you don't know your beliefs, right? If you don't know your core values, and you're just meditating and soul searching, and there's nothing in there, you're just like, right? It's just like all about your feelings. Dude, this is why our generation needs Jesus. Okay. Number six. Oh no. Accept who you are. Number seven. Journal, even more encouraging, journal for reflection on the past and future. So you're depressed, you're being mindful and accepting who you are, and then you are supposed to journal about it. Number eight, take a personality test. Oh Lord. All right, I want to read you one more because this is just going to further just like make us excited to read the scripture. Okay, this article is called Identity Crisis. Uh-oh. Discovering your true identity when you're in crisis. Number one, it's literally 4 steps. Seek the journal. I'm not talking about the Wall Street Journal. What I mean is an all about me journal. Sometimes people who have always focused on others feel selfish to take time for their own needs and wants, hence their lack of a defined identity. So if you give your life away, this is what the article is saying, you're not gonna know who you are if you're giving your life away. It's time to get over that misconception and designate a journal that is just about you and for you. Yes, it's okay that this is only about you. That's the point. If it's uncomfortable at first and you don't know what to write, that's perfectly fine. Start with a list of things you like, such as your favorite foods, time of day, perfume, where you'd love to travel, favorite songs or films, anything. So you're supposed to just go in there and just write anything down. Your favorite perfume, your favorite time of day. And it literally says, just let it flow. This may sound crazy, but it truly releases the floodgates and introduces you to your most basic self. Your list could also include things you don't like. That is often, sometimes just as telling when you're establishing your identity. All right, number two, much more encouraging, the wish list. This is actually not wishes, but authentic wants. List 50 to 100 things you want. The quantity is important as it really forces you to search yourself. When I did mine years ago, I easily hit 20 or 30 and then really had to dig deep to reach 50 and above. This was suggested by my advisor years ago. I still have my original wish list from 2004, as well as subsequent lists from 2008 and 2013. It is amazing as such an exercise reveals immediately and later on. Happily, this acted as a goal list, unbeknownst to me at the time, as well as a great identity tool, development tool for me. Third one, character development. I thought this was encouraging, and then it quickly went downhill. Another tip in getting to know yourself is to consider what characters you admire and what you like most about them. It's not about developing characters, it's about finding characters that you like in movies. It could be somebody you know, movie characters, activists, anyone from who you admire or find interesting. As a 30-something-year-old woman, I realized that my identity was based on what others wanted, and I agreed to adapt to others' hobbies or interests. So when I got divorced, When I got divorced, I felt totally alone. I had no idea who I was or what I wanted. This is not an easy feat to figure out. It was easy, however, to think of people that I admired and what specifically I liked about them. It provided a real insight into what I actually like or what characters I would like to possess. It is a creative and different way to learn about yourself, especially if you are not a list maker. Okay. All right, number four. You're waiting for, like, you know, just like the hammer to drop of truth. Number four, take action. I got excited about this one. I'm like, oh, maybe there's going to be some good stuff in here. It's important to look at this, finding your identity, as an exploration or adventure. You are on an expedition to discover yourself, like Indiana Jones searched for the Holy Grail. Embark on your journey. This is great for hands-on people. Do whatever piques your interest. If you like art, go to a gallery and see what pieces of art you like. Investigate those pieces and those artists. Whatever your interest is, just do it. Try things. Okay. I am depressed now. I read like 10 more articles, and some of them were even worse. And I go, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have scripture as your authority, it is nearly impossible. Actually, it is impossible for you to discern, navigate, find your identity. I mean, look at, like, if we can't, even as mature leaders in this room, if we're laughing at these kinds of articles, I mean, this is like the first things that come up on Google. Okay, so the first thing that we have to solidify and come into agreement together is what defines your identity has to do with what your authority is. So if your authority for your identity is your feelings, if God is saying, you're a leader, and you're like, I don't feel like it, therefore, I don't think I am. Is your feelings your authority? Is something that you have done, like an action, you know, if you played football up until you're 18 years old, your identity is in football, right? It's what you're doing, it's something that you love, you're involved in, you're invested in, or extracurricular activity, then you're done with it, and then you don't know, who am I outside of this action? Do actions define your identity? Do your peers define your identity? When I'm around these people, and they say I'm cool, and they say we all do fill in the blank, and I feel like I'm at home, I feel like I belong, is that your authority? Is your authority to what people are saying on TikTok? Is your authority a political agenda? What is your authority? Because if your authority is not scripture, you're gonna be on a slippery slope. And we have to, as leaders, we have to allow the Lord to confront these areas in our life where maybe we have allowed some false labels in, right here and there. We have allowed, we're talking about injustice on Wednesday, but different moments of pain and different things that have happened in our life through situations to form a makeshift identity that God doesn't agree with. And I think sometimes when I talk to young people, I guess I'm young, I'm 30, I'm turning 31 in 2 weeks, praise God.
Let's go!
But even when I talk to my peers, I feel like so many times finding your identity, when they're describing finding it, it's like you're just basically going on a path of like, kind of like a treasure hunt to discover, trying new things here and there, and kind of part and parceling the best of all these things that you resonate with, things that you agree with, to kind of make like a collage of who you are and go, this is, all these elements is who I am. What if we took our identity from Jesus only and everything else we declared war on?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we there together?
Yeah.
Okay. As believers, our authority is scripture and we must submit ourselves to the word and not our feelings to allow God to tell us who he created us to be. Our creator determines the identity of his creation. Write that down. The creator determines the identity of the creation. Okay, there's three facets to identity. Number one, there is an identity markers for all humans, right? Every human has worth because we are image bearers. That's why we believe every human has a certain set of human rights. Is this making sense? Right, there's universal things that God has valued on every single person as part of our identity. Number two, when we give our lives to Jesus, we are no longer spiritual orphans, but we become children of God and we're in God's family. And so then there's a whole nother element of our identity that we gain as soon as we become believers. And it becomes activated in us. And the third is God has given us specific gifts and callings and personality traits and different anointings. And that is what we call original design. So we've got our human God-given rights or God-given value. We've got our value and our identity in him as children of God. And we've got a special layer of unique ways God has made, designed, and empowered us to live in his mission. The Bible says that God formed us in our mother's womb, and he formed us with specific intention and purpose. And so when you think about finding your identity or helping others find their identity, it's not like God hasn't formed you with unique purpose and destiny. And it's actually not just finding something that maybe you resonate with, maybe at some point in your life. There's actually a real reason you're alive, a real assignment, a real mission, a real purpose that God has for you. And he has that for every single human walking the earth. And so we want to find out what that is, and we want to agree with it and run towards it. Okay, doing good so far?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is so good, Ed.
Thank you, I love you, Bree. Okay. There is a war over your identity. Everyone say war.
War.
Say, there's a war over my identity.
There's a war over my identity.
The enemy has been working directly in opposition to the way God designed you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about your own life for like 20 seconds. Think about the way that God has even plucked you out of whatever situation you were in and put you right here in this room. And then think about how faithful and how merciful and how powerful God has, his fingerprints are all over your life. But I bet you can also think about maybe ways where that's your life has come under attack. Anybody? Has anyone ever felt like a sense of like warfare, a sense of like, I don't know, like, yeah, Jonathan's like, yep. It's because the enemy knows that there is something special on your life. And so he doesn't come with a generalized plan of attack. In the same way that God has a specific, unique, you know, perfectly masterpiece put together of you, the enemy goes, I'm going to try to build a counter masterpiece of destruction. And I'm going to work from birth to take this person out. We're going to go back. We're going to talk more about this in a second. John 10:10. Write this down. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy has no good intentions for you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to take everything from you. He wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. And he does not take a day off. Have you ever like tried to have like a good day and you're just like, it's like a Saturday, everything's good, I'm just flowing, and then just like somehow something crazy happens, and you're like, oh, Lord, and then right, it's the day you didn't do your prayer, you didn't read your Bible, you're like just coasting, you're like, life is good, and then the enemy's like, got him, right? The devil's ruthless, he's mean, he's vicious, and he is our number one opponent. 1 Peter 5:8, be well balanced and always alert because your enemy, the devil, everyone say the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for his prey to devour. I want you to think about our generation for just 1 minute, right? It's Matthew 9. It's Jesus looking at the crowds and he's going, there's something in him that's just unsettled because he goes, ah, they're harassed and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd, the enemy's just raging like a roaring lion. And he wants to devour. And there's not enough laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Send laborers in there. The harvest is ripe. In the same way, in our life and in our generation, the enemy is roaming around on campuses, on high schools, in the Greek rows, everywhere, on TikTok. He's roaming around and he's trying to kill, he's trying to steal, and he's trying to destroy. We don't even have time to talk about suicide rates. It is an emergency. Yeah. Dude, if 4% of the generation knows God and has a biblical worldview, in other words, can answer like Jesus raised from the dead on a multiple choice, it is not a casual time for training. It is an emergency. It is an emergency that you are here. It is an all call to our generation. The enemy is not just trying to, you know, in an analogy, kill our generation. He is literally killing our generation. I don't even have time to go on the stats on that, but just look it up. Just look up stay here. And it's like, I think it's like every 40 seconds someone's committing suicide in our generation. It's like, it's insane. The enemy is just totally raging in our families. How many babies have not seen the light of day because of just the spirit of death in our generation? Yeah. Come on. Calling it freedom when it's total murder. Yeah. I mean, let's just go there for a second. If you think about the enemy raging, he's raging. Have you ever been on a Greek row? Raise your hand if you've been on a Greek row. All right, you guys all will go on a Greek row when you're here. You will watch girls get drugged in front of your face, and they will get led into a room, and God knows what will happen to them that night. Yeah. And they will not tell anybody. And it'll happen the following weekend. Yeah. And there's like 100 Christians on that campus, and they're all scared. Yeah. Wow. Wow. It is an emergency. The enemy is raging in our generation. Wow. And who's gonna stop him? That's why you're here. Yeah. You're here to lock into your identity. Yeah. You're here to lock into your authority as a believer. And you're here to change the tide of the generation. Yeah. Come on, I'm getting fired up. Guys, we can't play games. The devil's not playing games. Yeah. He's coming to take us out. Yeah. Okay, as we agree with the truth of our identity found in Scripture, we must deal with the lies that have been built up that challenge our true identity. This has to do with breaking off false labels. Okay, now it's going to get real. We all wish we could just jump into like, Lord, I'm a perfect angel. I'm an evangelist. I'm a leader. I'm a killer for you. I'm a total just winner, right? I wish it was that easy. But there's a battle over the way we see ourselves. Here are some potential false labels that maybe, you can tell me if this is true for you, if maybe have crossed your mind, and to be honest, if you see yourself more like this than a winner in God. Number one, that you're damaged, or damaged goods. Number two, you're insensitive, you're uncaring. And number three, that you're cruel, or you have cruel tendencies. Number four, that you're weak. I won't even go there. That you're dominating and overbearing. Don't talk. You're overbearing. Nobody wants to hear from you. You're too much. Shh. You're weak. Somebody stronger is gonna do something. No, let that person lead out. Remember that time, total failure? Oh, just be quiet. Number five, that you're controlling. right? I can't tell you how many times somebody leading out in strength and leading out in breakthrough gets accused of being controlling. Dude, I'm sorry. That is not an issue here. We want you to operate in strength. We want you to operate in leadership here. We want you to operate in being a catalyst, activating, initiating. You're not going to be accused of being controlling here. Unless you're like controlling, then we'll tell you. Okay. Because we got prophetic lasers around that kind of go, oh, Laura's there. Laura will discern. Just kidding. Love you, Laura. Laura's my freedom coach. I've had many a freedom one, freedom two, freedom three at Laura's house. So, okay. The next one is that you're just disinterested. You don't connect well with others. Why even try? Oh, just that's not really your department. Don't try to engage. That you're apathetic. That you are passive. That you are unstable. Oh, no. You really need more of a season of healing. No, just remember, you were having that anxiety attack last week. Best to just like, you know, go into a season of restoration. Don't lead out. What if the enemy is trying to make you operate in so much fear and sending that assignment of anxiety? And what's actually going to break it is you moving forward violently in breakthrough.
Yeah.
Okay, that you're confused. How could you ever lead? You're kind of confused. Uh-oh. That you're superficial. You don't really go deep with others. Just, you know what? You can go your whole time here and just don't really, just kind of stay at the surface level with people in your house. They don't really want to know you. No, do not share that thing. Oh, whatever you do, oh, getting too vulnerable. You need to go to the bathroom. ASAP, get out of there. Run away. Jump in the car that always leaves early from the greenhouse so you don't have to talk to people after, right? So they don't ask how you doing. They just saw you crying your guts out.
Wow.
I'm just going there, right?
Let's get
I'd rather have the vulnerability time later, privately, not now. No, I'll just skip that vulnerability time, right? Superficial. You're not superficial. You're deep wells. That's why you came to Circuit Riders. We're the craziest of the crazy. Dude, you gotta go deep if you're gonna run in this environment. I'm just telling you, I'm just warning you. It is so intense trying to change the tide of a generation. If you're in a superficial mindset, dude, just, it's the headwinds. You don't wanna be facing them. You wanna go deep, deep with people, share, trust people, give them a chance. They're not your friend from high school that backstabbed you. Take a chance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Break off that superficial label.
Yeah.
The next one is that maybe you're just stupid. If you really talk and you really share, they're going to discover you're really just not very bright. Remember that class you failed? Remember all your friends telling you that you're not, that you're pretty average? The amount of times in my high school that my friend group would tell me that I was okay at things. And you know, I wasn't like taking it personally. I was just like, yeah, you know, I'm just humble. I'm like, I'm okay at things. But then when I got to Circuit Riders and I go, and then Brian goes, you know, you're really fun to be around. You know, you're really good at this. You know, people love being around you. You know, you're really anointed. You know, you're really prophetic. My first thought was like, oh, like, yeah, like I'm okay. Like, I'm like a part of the team. Like, I don't really think I could lead. Do you just think you're okay at stuff? Or do you believe, no, I am.
Yeah.
I'm carrying something.
Yeah.
All right, we're going somewhere. I feel the faith surging in this place.
Yeah.
The next one is that you're gonna fail. You're just a failure. How many times has the Lord given you an opportunity? You don't even step into it because you're just, you already decided. You're gonna fail. How could you succeed? That's right where the devil wants you. If you never step out, of course you'll never fail, but you'll never have your inheritance or your true identity in God. All right, the next one, that you're a disappointment. Oh no, it's getting too real in here. What do my parents think? What do my friends think? If they really knew what was going on in my life, if they really knew that the Spirit of God was encountering me and holding me to the ground, and I was crying my guts out, and I was encountering a love that I've never experienced before. If I really went home in my church and told that on Sunday morning, I'd be a disappointment. Like, after I did YWAM, like, I was so driven. I'm still so driven. I was so driven in high school. I had so many plans. I was always preaching to my family, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm the oldest grandchild. So when I came back from my DTS and was completely, like, wrecked, crying over the lost, saying that I was not going to go to college anymore, I was going to go into missions, people's faces were, like, completely blank. And I felt this disappointment. Like, man. Just a disappointment. And they told me I was a disappointment. We thought you were going to set a great example for the kids, all your cousins. Well, you know what? 10 years later, and now they're recommending all my cousins go to church and go do things that I'm doing. Change in the culture of my family. Okay. Don't operate in fear because you think you're going to be a disappointment. You'd rather operate in fear of the Lord. Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. You're always going to disappoint somebody. Just letting you know, as a leader. Can't please everybody. You want to make sure you're pleasing the right people. God. Okay. Here we go. We must declare war on the false identities that we have allowed in our lives and accept who God says we are and allow God to restore our identity. All right. I want you to turn to page 29 in your freedom manual. I'm just going to go 10 more minutes here, and then we're going to pray for some people and be super fun. Okay. On page 29, dude, this is so fire. I want you to think about this in your own life. This is going to help you identify, maybe potentially, some things that you have kind of settled in that you think is kind of your identity, right? Not out of like a bad heart, just like, hey, maybe it's kind of more what I resonate with. And then what the enemy's assignment against you, and then what God's intention to restore you is. Okay, the enemy works. You guys see it? The little chart, page 29, okay, at the top. The enemy works through life circumstances, people, situations, and our responses to them to create an identity that is selfish and preoccupied, victimized and filled with self-pity, hardened and numb, unforgiving and bitter, filled with self-hatred, depressed and sorrowful, introverted and shy, visionless and confused, fearful and unable to trust, cautious and afraid to witness. Then look at the other part of the chart. The Lord wants to restore us to his original design, our true identity in Jesus Christ, as a servant and promoter of others, one who gives hope and encouragement, soft-hearted and connected emotionally, forgiving and filled with love, one who knows they are approved of by God, a person of contagious joy, outgoing and bold, clear-minded and filled with vision and direction, courageous and not suspicious of others, a bold witness with a voice that is filled with God's power. Dude, that's what's in store for you being in this DTS. God wants to restore every single one of those points. If you look at this, it also kind of, if you read it horizontally, it will actually, if you read this, and you can read this in your own time, but it basically, like, ways that the enemy's oppressed you in, a lot of times the enemy's oppressing you in something that you're meant to carry. And so if you're, like, depressed and sorrowful, the Lord is actually saying, no, I made you as a contagious joy carrier. If you're timid to witness, most likely the Lord's made you to be a bold voice filled with his power and his love. So in your own time, I want you to take this to the Lord and just go, Lord, is there anything that I've settled in my identity that I actually want to, right? This is what Holly talked about, faith, to go, Lord, you can tell me who I am. And to maybe break your box that you could be a much more wild, restored person operating your identity. Okay, so the big question. How can we discover our true identity? Write these down. Number one, the Bible. I'm going to say the Bible. Bible. The Bible. 2 Peter 2, 1, 20. Here, sorry. Write this down. 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you all will do well and pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from anyone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but God spoke, and they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Scripture has to be the number one source and our authority to define our identity. Do you get more excited about a prophetic word than about opening up your Bible and learning about who you are? Prophetic encouragement's amazing, but it can't be your diet. Yeah. It's the peanut butter cookie once a week. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's the healthy meal, sugar-free. That's going to make you strong. It's a scripture. Okay, I want you to turn. I love peanut butter cookies, so I made them a couple days ago. Anyone in my house knows. I've been getting asked to make them again, so I think they're pretty good. Okay, turn with me to page 164 and 165, and I want you guys to stand up. I'm going to show you how powerful and exciting the scripture is, and how much more exciting it is than maybe we think it is. All right, go ahead and stand up when you're there. Page 164. It's a Christian birthright card. I'm telling you, if you are looking for a God encounter about your identity, open up your Bible or open up this book, this Christian birthright card, and declare it over yourself every single day for a week. You'll be a different person. Okay, we are going to read and declare every single one of these verses over ourselves right now. And so I want you, not for somebody else, right? You're not here for reputation. Not because, you know, you're trying to perform for me. I could care less. I want you to get breakthrough for you. For your future and your future family and your future kids and your future ministry. So I want you, as you're reading this, I want you to just declare these over your own life. Okay? Okay, you guys ready? We're going to shout these and we're going to go all through every single one. You guys ready? Okay. I'm going to put down the mic and read them with you. You guys ready? 3, 2, 1.
I am the light.
Can you feel the fire in here? That's from declaring the scripture out loud. If you are feeling oppressed, if you are feeling heaviness, if you are feeling confusion, if you are feeling any of the false labels that the enemies worked against you to destroy your identity, I want you the rest of your life to stand up no matter how you're feeling, because your authority is not your feelings anymore. Your authority is this book, the Bible. and I want you to declare these things. If you have to get on a chair, if you have to pull over in your car or leave your house and get in there and scream out these verses, dude, I promise you, this is a tool in your tool belt to literally move and break through the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and take a seat. Okay, so everyone say the Bible.
Bible.
I want you to write down that you need to have your number one way you find your identity is the Bible. Number two is seek the Lord for yourself. How much time are you sitting before the Lord asking him to speak to you, learning how to hear his voice? James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Or if you lack wisdom about your identity, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, it will be given to you. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me if you need help with your identity, if you need truth, if you need clarity, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. God wants to be with us. He wants you to tell us, not hide and seek. He wants to tell you your identity. Okay, I want you to write down, I'm going to tell you 8 ways God speaks. I want you to write these down. I'm going to give you the scripture reference, and we're going to do more of a teaching on this later on. But when you're trying to hear God, you need to know how he speaks. Number one, through impressions, a gentle feeling in your inner being. Write down Acts 20:22. The second is a vision. It's seeing a snapshot or still image with the eyes of your heart, or seeing several images together like a movie. That's Daniel 7:2. A trance, a vision in which you are playing an active role. Acts 1:9-10. Dreams, similar to visions or trances, but these happen while you're sleeping. Matthew 1:20. Angelic revelation, God communicating to you through an angel while you are asleep or while you are awake. Genesis 19:1. Audible voice. Sometimes God communicates to us by allowing us to hear his audible voice. Acts 9:4. Okay, and the last 2 more. The Bible. God's written word speaks directly to your heart while you're reading it, or it comes to mind later. And the verse is Daniel 9:2-3. I think it'd be amazing this week, or whenever you have a chance, do a study on these and go, Lord, I want you to speak to me in every single way that you speak. If maybe you haven't experienced, you've experienced 2 of 8, or you only experienced 1, I think it'd be super great and super fun and super healthy for you to cry out and go, Lord, I want you to speak to me in more ways.
Yeah.
Expand my capacity in these encounters. And the last one is through others. Can be through a friend's timely encouragement, a pastor's sermon that speaks directly to you in your circumstance, or a prophetic encouragement from someone. You are to test these words and see if they are in line with Scripture. Luke 2:25 and Luke 2:33-35. Okay, and then the third way that God speaks to us in our identity is by seeking the Lord. It's us seeking the Lord within the church or in community. God speaks through people around us for our strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. How many of you guys have gotten a timely word from someone that had no idea what was going on in your life, and it really meant a lot? Like through prophecy. They don't know what's going on, but they're able to go speak right into your situation. That is an amazing, we're gonna demonstrate this in a second, but that is for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort of your soul. So in Circuit Riders, we do not do rebuke words. If you've got a word for somebody, it's got to be strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Let somebody else take care of it, right? If God's revealing something to you about somebody, most likely it's not true. And if it is true, the Lord is not calling you to be that vessel of breakthrough. Most likely he's either calling you to pray. And a really great thing to do is when you think you're discerning something is ask the Lord, Lord, why are you showing me this? What do I need to do about this? Does that make sense? We just can't move in presumption that we're the person that's going to carry out the breakthrough. Okay. All right, write down these. We're going to do 3 more verses. We're going to pray. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so as one person sharpens another. So when we're in the context of community, we're in the context of the body of Christ, we want to be experiencing that iron sharpening iron. It's an amazing benefit to being in community. Matthew 18:20. For where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So God's promise, right? And when we're seeking the Lord within the church, in community, is he's saying, hey, when you come into agreement, I'm there. And I want God to be in all my prayer times. That's why it's important to gather and pray with others. The last one, 1 Corinthians 14:3. But one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Okay, today we are going to demonstrate praying for someone's original design. Now, this is not like an exhaustive list of everything about someone's identity, but we can ask the Lord, Lord, we pray you would speak and show us a few things that point out and direct towards the person's original design, how you created them. And we're going to demonstrate that. So can I get Stamper, Bree, and Soph to run up here real quick? They're going to be our prayer team. You know this is about to be fire. And then could I get two volunteers that have never had their original design prayed for? Yeah. Oh, you've already got, if you've never had your original design ever. Okay. You and you. Okay, awesome. Do you guys want to both come up? Yeah. We're just going to do one at a time. Okay, awesome. All right. All right, what's your name?
Caitlin.
And what's your name?
Stefan.
Okay, so we've got Caitlin. It's your birthday?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How old are you?
20.
Yes. Dude, what a great birthday.
Yes.
I love that. The pink looks great on you, by
Thank
the way.
You.
Okay, so Caitlin and Stefan.
Yeah.
Okay, where are you from?
Australia.
Awesome.
Wow.
Amazing. Where are you from?
Canada.
Wow, too international. Pretty fire. Okay, we're going to pray for Caitlin first, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to demonstrate how we are going to pray for original design, and then after this, we're going to break all you guys up, and you guys are going to get personal prayer. We're not going to be able to get through everybody today, but we're going to just do a little taste of this prayer time, and then this fall, you're going to be scheduled with a prayer team, and by the end of this school, you're going to have your original design and a few other prayer times set up so we don't have to rush and you get to go in depth. So we want to model this. Okay, so do you guys want to all come around here really quick? And then Stefan, you can just sit over here. That's great. You're in the prayer line right now. Okay, so here's how we pray. Number one, we want to take authority over our own imagination, our own flesh, and the voice of the enemy. Right, because if you're trying to hear God's voice, how many of you try to hear God's voice and you're like, I don't know if that was me? Like, is that anyone, be real. Like, has anyone ever, had that thought? And then you, think you hear something and you're like, I think I saw a flower, but that couldn't be from God. And then, right, I have so many awkward stories about this, so we're going to skip those. But here's how you know if you're hearing God's voice, right? If you take authority over your imagination, you take authority over your own flesh, your own ideas, your own, what you can imagine it to be, and you take authority over the voice of the enemy, most likely, unless you have a major open door in your life, does that make sense? And you're just letting witchcraft flow through and you're like, woo, right? If you're just just going peanut butter and jelly, good believer, does that make sense? Walking by faith every day, doing your best for Jesus, you're going to hear God's voice. And it's an exercise of hearing, obeying, and then talking. And in that conversation, you're going to get so much more comfortable hearing his voice and knowing what his voice sounds like. Okay, so this is literally how we would do this, okay, and how we will after this. Okay, so we're just going to open up in prayer. I'm going to be the quarterback, and then they're all going to be the receivers hearing from the Lord, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't be scared. If it doesn't resonate, you can tell us, okay? Okay, so Lord, we just lift up Caitlin to you
yes,
in
God.
Jesus' name. We highlight her.
Caitlin.
And Lord, right now, we take authority over our own imagination, the voice of the flesh, and the voice of the enemy in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bind up those other sources and those other voices in Jesus' name. God, we pray that you would speak clearly over Caitlin's life.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray that you would show us, Lord, what are a couple of key ingredients of how you've made Caitlin
yes.
in her original design in Jesus' name? So we'll just wait on the Lord for maybe 10, 15, 20 seconds, and then they'll share.
Caitlin, I saw a vision of you in a home, and the door opened, and the Lord is saying that part of your original design is to be a woman of hospitality and of gathering. And I just saw that there is such a tenderness of the Lord that he has placed inside of you to love on people in the setting of home and around food and around just memories and love, and I just believe that part of your original design is to gather and be a woman of just so much hospitality.
Okay, I saw a picture of, I feel like the Lord was saying you're so deeply rooted. He designed you with a sound mind. And then I heard that you were a catalyst. And I feel like, I don't know if there's environments where sometimes you feel like you're set apart or you feel alone or you feel different. And I feel like the Lord is rephrasing that for you right now, and he's saying, I've actually designed you to be an accelerant. Mm. And I've designed you to be the woman in the room that goes first. And I've designed you to take those feelings and use them as fuel to go, all right, I'm shifting the culture. And I'm taking this identity piece and going, like, I'm going first. I'm the catalyst.
Mm.
I just heard the Lord say over you that you're a safeguard of truth, specifically that you're a protector of reputation, and you've been in several circumstances throughout your life where you've had to defend others on their own behalf because of accusations that were being spoken against them, and it's felt like a burden, but I felt like the Lord was saying that you're called as a safeguard of truth for the truth of people's identity, and it's been an area of warfare, but God's literally called you to be a beacon of protecting people's reputation and the truth of who they are.
All right, I just saw one picture I want to share with you. I just saw you have like a huge beating heart of compassion.
Yes.
And I saw that one of the primary ways God speaks to you is leading you through your compassion. And I saw sometimes you have a doubt in your mind, like, Lord, are you calling me here? Are you calling me here? But your heart is leading the way. And I just saw over you, like, your compassion leads the way. And it is how the Lord speaks to you. When your heart is moved, it's like, you don't have to wait for confirmation. It's like, that's it. When your heart is going there, that's the Lord going, yeah, yes, yes, yes. Caitlin, move forward. This is my heart. You're agreeing with my heart. Yes. Gift of compassion. Okay, so you can tell us if none of this was accurate. Did you feel like any of this resonate with you?
Yeah, it was really all very accurate. So especially, I've had people tell me before they think I have the gift of hospitality, so that was really cool.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah, like everything you said, it was really, yeah.
And do we know you very well?
No.
Okay.
And I've never had anyone like prophesy over me before either.
You haven't?
No.
Wow. Dude, God knows you. Okay, so we're going to do one more thing. We're going to ask the Lord to show us what is the number one assignment the enemy is using against her to stop her from her original design. Okay? And you can tell us if this is accurate too, okay? We're just trying our best to hear and see in part, okay? Let's ask the Lord right now. So Lord, we just pray right now you would show and you'd expose the enemy,
yes,
in
God.
Jesus' name. You'd show us, God, what is coming against Caitlin? What is the number one thing the enemy has set up to stop her from her original design in Jesus' name?
I specifically heard fear of being taken advantage of, but not like in just a general sense, specifically that the gift of mercy that's on your life would keep you from discerning those who you're called to versus those who you're not and who will kind of hurt you or take advantage of your kindness, that fear will keep you closed off or has kept you closed off to certain people because you're afraid of how deeply you care for people.
Yeah, I just think with that, I saw because of the way God's made you, I saw sometimes you don't realize the strength you have. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of sit on the sideline or you kind of sit and you kind of wait for, like, you're like, oh, somebody else who's stronger in this way should, you know, lead. And I just saw a tinge of that comparison of like, my gifts are less important, my gifts are less valued than maybe others. And I just think we need to break that off you. We need to break off that that hesitation of moving forward with fierceness, and also any of that comparison that just devalues the gifts God has over your life.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to declare your original design out loud. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so I want you to pray with me, and I want you to pray, and I want you to agree. What was the first word about being a woman of hospitality?
Yes.
All right, you're going to declare, Lord, I agree, I'm a woman of hospitality.
Gatherer.
I'm a gatherer. What was yours?
Something about truth.
Oh, yeah, protector of truth. Okay. Gatherer, protector of truth,
catalyst,
and that you got a gift of compassion. Okay, you can hold the mic. I want you to pray and just tell the Lord. Just close your eyes. We're just gonna be here agreeing with you.
Yes, come on, girl.
Yes, okay. Got it. Okay. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will make me into a woman of hospitality.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. Yes.
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 That I will not be afraid of men and like fear of comparison to other people.
Wow.
Yes.
Your protector of truth and a catalyst, yeah.
And I just pray, Lord, that I would just step into being a catalyst and that you would
yes, girl.
That you
yes.
Yes, girl.
Okay, and then why don't you just declare, I am a compassionate woman.
Yes.
I am a compassionate woman.
My compassion is going to lead the way.
My compassion is going to lead the way.
Let's go. Okay. All right. Now we're going to break the assignments. Just pray this with me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I break agreement.
Yes. I break agreement.
With all timidity.
With all humility.
With all fear.
With all fear.
With all comparison.
With all comparison.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I break agreement.
I break agreement.
Of devaluing my gifts.
Of devaluing my gifts.
Of devaluing my identity.
Of devaluing my identity.
Wishing I had different gifts.
Wishing I had different gifts.
I accept my gifts.
I accept my gifts.
And I celebrate them.
Celebrate.
And I agree with you that they're valuable.
And I agree with you that they are valuable.
So enemy,
the enemy,
I break this assignment.
I break this assignment
over my life.
Over my life.
You break off me now.
Break off me now.
I'm a catalyst.
I'm a catalyst.
I'm a protector of truth.
I'm a protector of truth.
I'm a gatherer.
I'm a gatherer.
I'm a catalyst.
I'm a catalyst.
I'm a compassion woman.
I'm a compassion woman.
And I'm a leader.
And I'm a leader.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, guys. So we are going to, or Holly has instructions.
Yeah, I'm going to give
Okay, perfect. So I think just my last thing is, this is obviously a battle that we have to win in our own lives, of wrestling through the false identities, the assignments against us, and embracing who God says we are. And that is the first thing in your leadership development that absolutely has to be solidified. And so we're going to do some prayer. We're going to do more prayer as the school continues. But I want you to grab a hold of this. Open up your Christian birthright card. Open up the Freedom Manual. Open up your Bible. Take time to sit before the Lord and ask Him questions. And let the Lord wash a waterfall over you and just purify what is not from Him and give you a whole new paradigm for your future. Does that sound good? Okay. Thank you for having me, guys. I think I'll be with you guys tomorrow.
Yes.
And here's Holly.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.